My mind went back to Seattle, Washington, when the choir was singing that beautiful number about the meeting in the air. I spoke one night on heaven, and in the audience was a Mr. Kenneth Fleming. His son was martyred in Ecuador a few years ago, the number of young men from the United States. And that night, going out the door, Mr. Fleming says, "I'm a terminal case with cancer." And he says, "Brother Neil, we won't meet again down here, but I'm looking forward to meeting you on the way up." On the way up. Yes, there will be a meeting in the air. Shall we turn, please, to the Old Testament, to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 8, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, chapter 8 and verse 10. "And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity." Once again, the Lord will bless this reading, a solemn portion of His precious word. There are three things in this verse we would stress this evening. First of all, a sad sight. Secondly, a sinful condition. And thirdly, a solemn warning. "I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city." The Bible is a book of alternatives. We are either saved or lost. We are either in possession of everlasting life, or we shall be the recipient of everlasting judgment. We are either in the kingdom of God or in the kingdom of Satan. We are either heaven-bound, that meeting in the air, or hell-bound. And you are the one that determines your destiny, where you will spend eternity. A sad sight. There are many sad sights in life. Never forget, in World War II, I saw a U.S. ship called the SS Charleston torpedoed in the Atlantic Ocean. An oil tanker, fleet oiler, men in boats, rowing boats, and suddenly the oil on the water caught fire, and they drifted into those flames. That was a sad sight. We've seen pictures of late of a large tidal wave coming up the Bay of Bengal and killing hundreds of thousands in Bangladesh. And I saw a picture of an old man, lost his whole family, and sitting on a box, wailing. Sad sight. We've seen some sad sights of late in earthquakes in Soviet Armenia, in San Francisco. Sad sights. We've seen the awful devastation, Hurricane Gilbert in Jamaica and Hugo in the Carolinas. We could go on and on and on about sad sights. But the saddest sight of all is a burial. A burial. It's a sad thing when we see the good buried. I remember asked to take a funeral in Waterbury, Connecticut, traveled over 200 miles to officiate at this funeral. There was a casket, and in the casket a father and his widow and 12 children gathered round that casket. saved out of the Church of Rome. That was a sad sight. It's sad to see the good therein. A year ago, we laid to rest my mother. Just a few days before she passed away, we sang a duet together. The Lord's been so good to me, I feel like traveling home. And the Lord took her. The first time I preached the word after she was gone, I sensed the awful loss that she would not be praying for me. It's a sad thing to see the good buried. Today God is speaking once again to your island in death. Home call of her sister Francina Underwood is a further reminder that we must all needs die. But we are thankful when we read God's word of three conditions. Paul said to the Ephesians, ye were without Christ. And then he says to the Corinthians, and you a man in Christ. And writing to the saints of Philippi, having a desire to depart to be with Christ. Without Christ. In Christ. With Christ. Our dear sister was once without Christ. Born in sin like all of us. But there came a day when she was found in Christ. The moment she embraced the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, she was in Christ. And today, we can thank God she is with Christ. We know where she is, and we know how she is. Where is she? With Christ. How is she? Far better. Away from this ungodly world with all its stress and strain. Far better. So the point tonight that we must stress is this. If you should make your exit from this world tonight, where would you be? Oh, it's a sad thing to see the good buried. Oh, the awful tragedy. I saw the wicked buried. What a contrast. When a dear one goes home to glory, we sorrow not as those that have no hope. But we know that there will be a meeting in the air, and the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. With the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And those perplexed disciples, as they stood on the Mount of Olives, their lover and their friend was about to leave them, and he's winging his way home to heaven, and the angel said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye there gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go. He went up victoriously, voluntarily, and thank God that's how he's coming back. Voluntarily, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And he'll come back victoriously through the domain of the evil one, for Satan is the prince of the power of the air. And the Lord is not going to send Gabriel or Michael or some cherubim or seraphim. He's personally going to come to conduct his bride through the territory of the evil one. And they'll put their feet down on yonder shore in absolute safety. Yes, but what about you? If you're not born again,
I saw the wicked buried. Yes, it's a sad sight to see a burial. But oh, a sinful condition, the wicked buried. That's a different story. The person who dies in Christ, it's homeward bound. The person that dies without Christ, I must warn you, is bound for a lost eternity. You are the one that is instrumental in deciding your destiny. And I trust if you're not saved, you'll make sure tonight. A sinful condition, God says, we're either born again or we are still wicked. And the wicked are like the troubled sea. No peace, saith my Lord, to the wicked. And every man and woman, boy or girl who is not in God's family, they are still constituted as being wicked. It's only the blood of the Lord Jesus that constitutes a tremendous change, whereby we are accepted in the beloved. I saw, this is something King Solomon saw, I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy. These so-called wicked people were privileged above all people. They had actually come from the place of the holy. And let me remind you tonight, friends, of three men who were privileged above all men, who came and gone from the place of the holy. And God would warn you in the book of Jude not to follow in their track. Woe unto them who have gone in the way of Cain, run greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These men, says Jude, were apostates. Apostate is a man who has light, but no life. And if ever there was a man that was privileged, it was these three men, Cain and Balaam and Korah. So we have apostasy in the poorhouse. Cain was a farmer. We've apostasy in the pulpit because Balaam was a preacher. And we've apostasy in the palace because Korah belonged to the princes of the realm. Woe unto them who have gone in the way of Cain. Cain came from a holy home. Balaam stood on the holy mount. And Korah saw his cousin Moses and Aaron going into the holy sanctuary. They came and have gone from the place of the holy. And what a tragedy for anyone to be raised in a holy home and go down to the pit. No doubt Adam and Eve instructed these two boys of their past history. They would talk of the divine fellowship that they enjoyed with God as he came down and walked in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day. The divine fellowship that they enjoyed. They would also instruct the boys about the dreadful failure when Satan came in with his evil machinations. Hath God said, the day thou eatest thereof, you will be as gods, knowing good and evil. And so, those two, Adam and Eve, were lost by a look. They saw that the tree was good for food. They partook of the tree, and great was the fall. Lost by a look. But tonight you can be saved by a look. Look unto me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. divine fellowship, but dreadful failure. But they would also instruct their boys about the delightful forgiveness that came about when they acknowledged their sin and their wickedness. And God slew an animal. He shed the blood, gave them coats of skin, and they were accepted in priestly capacity because of the blood of a sacrifice. So these boys, like some of the young folks here, were well instructed in the holy home, in the ways of God. So Abel brought his little lamb. He went the right way. But Cain went the wrong way. So says God, woe unto them who have gone in the way of Cain. Because Cain was a man who had seven distinct steps away from God. Cain was a man that was marked, first of all, in the wrong way by unbelief. Because God had told them that if they would come His way, they would be accepted. He didn't believe God. Unbelief. And pride. God accepted Abel's little lamb as a substitute. But God didn't accept the fruit of the ground, His own works, what He produced. And He was filled with pride. And He was given to wrath. Why is thy countenance fallen? He got mad with God. And yet raised in a Christian home. And then He was given to distrust. God kept after him, Cain, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. I want you, Cain, I want you to come. I love you, Cain. But he distrusted God. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? There's a sin offering lying at your door. And then he murdered his brother. And then he lied. Am I my brother's keeper? Woe unto them who have gone in the way of Cain, raised in a holy home, the lost. Cain, tonight, is in hell. A friend of mine was asked to take a funeral of a 17-year-old girl. When he approached the father, he broke down in tears and he said, my brother, if she died, how she lived, I'll never see her again. You think of Absalom, who was raised in a Christian home. He heard his father David play that harp, the sweet psalmist of Israel. David stood one day and he saw his son in the coffin, being lowered into the tomb. And he wailed, oh, my son Absalom, oh, Absalom, my son, would God I had died for thee. Never see his boy again. Because this man came, was wrong in his practice. He was marked by self-righteousness. My sacrifice, he says, is good enough for God or else. And he went out a fugitive, a vagabond from the presence of God. And as many here on this island have been raised in a holy home. My dear wife, had an uncle and an aunt. I've yet to meet their equal for godliness. The Bible's read morning, noon, and night. And their three children, two boys are gone. The daughter an alcoholic. And as far as we know, never saved. Oh, the tragedy. To be separated forever. He was wrong in his practice, selfish. Then says God, woe unto them who have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam. Balaam stood on the holy mount. On the holy mount. And God used Balaam to give us five priceless prophecies. And in his first prophecy, he speaks about the Lord's promise. He could use heavenly language. He called it Elohim. He believed in the triunity of the Godhead. Heavenly language. And he got a heavenly view. He looked down from the mountain and he saw Israel in the tents. A heavenly view. And in the same parable, he speaks about the heavenly prospect. He said, let me die the death of the righteous and let my last end be like his. He wanted to be in heaven when he died. He said, I shall see him, but not now. He knew that one day he would see face to face the Son of God. And every sensible person wants to be in heaven when they die. But he never made it. You see, he was wrong in his preaching. Cain was wrong in his practice. Balaam was wrong in his He loved the wages of unrighteousness. In his second parable, he says, this is God's purpose. God's promise and God's purpose. He speaks there about God's word. And God's work, he says, is a God that cannot lie. And he speaks about God's work. He looked down on the tents of Israel and he said, look at them. They are a sanctified people. Sanctified, and they are a redeemed people brought out of the land of Egypt. He knew that Israel in their tents were redeemed by precious blood in the Paschal Lamb. But yet he died in his sin. Parable after parable. And then there was one that was absolutely superlative. How could he ever miss it? He says, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not now. I see him as the star out of Jacob and the scepter out of Israel. He got a preview of the humanity of Christ. The star out of Jacob. And he got a preview of the millennium. The kingdom of Christ. Scepter. Out of Israel. So these are the elucidations of Balaam. In the book of the Revelation we read of the doctrine of Balaam, which was ecumenism. Let's all get together. Have a religious amalgamation. The Bible tells us about the end of him. He died fighting against us. So privileged. A holy home. A holy month. Cain was wrong in his practice, Balaam wrong in his preaching. Cain was marked by self-righteousness. This man Balaam was marked by self-pleasing. And then, says Jude, and perish in the gainsaying of Korah. Korah stood one day and saw Aaron the high priest going into the sanctuary. With precious blood sprinkled 7 times before and 7 times on the mercy seat on the great day of atonement. And Korah says, we don't need this. We don't need a mediator. Because all the people be holy. That's the universal salvation that some men propagate today. God would never put a soul in hell. And they are right. Because God doesn't put a soul in hell. Men and women choose to go to hell. The deliberate rejection of the Lord Jesus. They choose to go to hell. God willeth not the death of any. He prepared hell for the devil and his angels. Never his intent, my friend, that you perish. But if you reject his son, you choose to go to the hell. Judas, by transgression, went to his own birth. You remember with the rebellion, God caused the ground to open up. And Korah and his sons were seen going down into the abyss. God is a loving God. He is a merciful God, and we read, but the children of Korah perish not. Korah deserved all he got. But God mercifully spared the sons of Korah. We find in the book of the Psalms that they were converted and became doorkeepers and singers in the house of the Lord. Oh, the mercy of our great God. So this man Korah, his problem was self-exaltation, self-righteous was Cain, self-pleasing was Balaam, and self-exaltation was the problem of Korah. Cain was wrong in his practice. Balaam was wrong in his preaching. And Korah was wrong in his position. We don't need a sacrifice. We don't need the cross. We don't need a mediator. God came in judgment. Come and gone from the place of the holy. Let me remind you again of another privileged person. Lot's wife. God sent a special messenger, 2 messengers from heaven to warn of coming judgment. And finally the 2 angels hastened Lot and his wife and the 2 girls out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Those angels took the hand of Lot and Lot's wife, 1 angel. The other angel took the hands of the 2 girls and they were hasted. But you remember Lot's wife turned back. She was lost inwardly before she was lost outwardly. She longed for Sodom and the sin and the wickedness. Yet she held the hand of a holy angel and went to hell. Let me remind you of a man called Judas. He was a preacher. He was equipped the same as the other 11 disciples. One day, the Lord Jesus took a basin of water, girded himself with a towel, got down on his knees, and those holy hands of the Son of God washed the feet of Judas and went to hell. A holy home, a holy mount, the holy sanctuary, the hand of a holy angel, and the hands of the holy Son of God. He kissed his cheek, sold him for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a female soul, and he committed suicide and went down into the cavern of hell. There's no people more privileged than the folks of Spanish world. You've watched holy men and women walk these streets. You've been raised at the lap of a holy mother and a holy father. Watch the movements of a holy wife or a holy husband, yet continuing in your sin. God would warn you tonight to flee from the coming Lord, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten. When a man or a woman leaves this world who are saved like our dear sister today, names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, recorded forever, that you could be in the Hall of Fame of baseball in Cooperstown, New York, or basketball in Springfield, Massachusetts, or football in Canton, Ohio, or on any other road. But if you're not saved, you'll go down into the abyss. A zero. A non-entity. Forgotten. Forgotten. For all eternity. My dear friend, if God would call you tonight as I close, as he called our dear sister last night, where would you spend eternity? Oh, it says, dear ones will weep o'er my silent face. Loved ones will clasp me in sad embrace. Darkness and shadows will fill the place. 5 minutes after I die, faces that sorrow I will not see, voices that murmur will not reach me, but where, oh where, will my spirit be? 5 minutes after I die, quick will the years of my life have flown, gathering treasure I thought my own. Where, oh, where will my spirit be 5 minutes after I die? Not to repay the good I left, fixed to the goal of my chosen track. No time to repent, no turning back 5 minutes after I die. Here I might stifle conviction stirred. Here I might silence the voice of hell. But then the fulfillment of God's sure word. 5 minutes after I die, wedded parade to my chosen throng. Long is eternity, oh so long. Woe is me if my soul be wrong. 5 minutes after I die, fool that I am, sad word yet true. Passing the Saviour with death in view, doing a deed I can ne'er undo,
5 minutes after I die, if I am flinging a fortune away, if I am spurning salvation day, just as the verdict my soul will say, 5 minutes after I die, the Lord help you to choose. Your eternal state depends on your choice. You must not wait for me too late. 5 minutes after you die. Get right with Christ tonight. And meet our dear sister and those who have passed away in recent days. I tell you, God is speaking to this island. Be with us at that meeting. In the air. Let's make this a complete evacuation of the whole island. And Jesus Christ. May it be so for his name's sake, shall we? Father, we thank thee that it is possible tonight to know that we are bound for that celestial city to meet the loved ones in the air. Oh, what a gathering of the ransomed that will be. And oh, our Father, what an eternal delight to see face to face for the first time the wonderful man of Calvary. Oh, our Father, our hearts just thrill at the prospect of being with him and like him for all eternity. And our hearts ache. We're concerned about friends and loved ones still without Christ. Father, bring them in before it be too late. Touch hearts tonight, both saint and sinner, that will never be the same again. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Shall we sing in closing? Hymn number 230. 230. Sinner, the Savior is calling for thee. Long, long as he called thee in vain, he called thee when joy lent its crown to thy day. We call thee in sorrow and pain, O church, where the Savior in mercy is waiting. If God has been speaking to you tonight, let's hear about it from your own lips. If you need help at all in any given direction, I'm here to help you. We can sit there and look into God's Word. If you have a doubt in your mind if you're saved or not, then why not make absolutely sure tonight? It's in the Word of God, and you can leave this building rejoicing in God's salvation and will meet us in the year number 230.